Now, today is the start of something new. I don't know how long it's going to go on. How many knows the Lord is he's good at moving you out of your comfort zone. And if you, those of you that are, you know, my comfort zone normally at this point is open your Bibles too. That's my comfort zone. Do you see a Bible up here?
No.
Do you see my phone up here?
No.
'Cause I don't know how long, but the instruction right now is elders, Peter said, are to lead by example. We're not to lord it over your faith. We're to be helpers of your joys, another way Paul put it. So today, I have an instruction to get out of my comfort zone and learn. I'm going to, by example, demonstrate one way of being led by the Spirit. Okay, now in my gift, which is a teaching gift. And I remember in the early days when we had the Bible studies at our home, in those early, early days, he would let me prepare weeks ahead the lessons. And I would have them printed, pre-printed out. I mean, you know, and I'd step one, step two, step three. And listen, there's always going to be a place for line-on-line teaching.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus himself, if you'll, you know, he didn't just blow into town and start healing the sick. If you'll really read how he did it, it says he went about teaching and preaching and healing. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Teaching, preaching, healing. And there's always going to be a need and for line on line teaching. Open up your Bibles too, and here we go. Okay? But right on the other hand, how many of you know this? We're not going to have revival without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And this time through, now, how do I say that right? Good. What's coming, let's say it this, is going to be a little bit different than how it's been in the past. I thank God for all of us getting to watch Pastor Dave move in the gifts and move in the anointing that he moved in. And he still can do that today, thank God. But what's coming is a little bit different. This is going to be Joel's army that he's raising up this time. And it's really what Jesus said. He said, those that believe. How many in this room would call yourself a believer? And those watching, you're a believer. Those that believe in my name shall they who? Those that believe shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you've noticed over these last few years, we have prayer lines, and thank God for prayer lines. We're not discouraging prayer lines, but he's trying to move believers from that side of the prayer line to this side of the prayer line, if you know what I mean. You're not going to be the one always coming for healing. You're going to be the one ministering healing to others. Well, for that to happen, see, Jesus himself, okay, now, doing it this way, I wish I had the Bible in me every verse, chapter and verse, where I could quote the chapter and verse and tell you, you know, but I don't have it that way. So I may know the book. I may know the chapter. You're going to have to study some of these out on your own. But I do know this, Jesus himself, Acts 10:38, he didn't try and do his work without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, let's say it another way. He couldn't do his work without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. See, Acts 10:38, I believe I know that one well enough to quote it, for how God anointed, now pay attention, how God anointed, notice how it's phrased, Jesus of Nazareth. Stop, let's just don't go any farther. In the beginning was the
word.
Notice it does not, the word. Notice it does not say how God anointed the word. Is he the word? Well, why didn't he say that that way? Let me tell you right now, the word is already anointed. Hebrews will tell you the word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and so forth, okay? The word, but why is it phrased that way? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He's drawing our attention to the fact he anointed a man. See? He is our prototype in everything. He is our example, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. How he anointed Jesus of Nazareth, now notice, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We could teach for months on that one verse. There's so much there. But he's drawing our attention to the fact Jesus is a man. Now, yes, he's the Son of God. Yes, he is the Word. Yes, he was in the beginning with God. He is God. All of those things. But he's drawing our attention. Jesus of Nazareth, the man born in Nazareth, had to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do his work. And honey, you're going to need the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do your work too. We've been drawing attention here recently to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where it talks about being not conformed to... See, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's the rest of that chapter about? What's he start talking about? Ministry. To him that giveth. To him that exhorteth. To him that prophesies. You mean there's a ministry of giveth? Yeah, there's a ministry of giving. People call to handle money. You're not going to do that without the anointing of the Holy Ghost for sure. Remember how Dave used to say, you gospel entrepreneurs that are really gospel entrepreneurs call to make money for the kingdom? So if you're going to get out there in the world, if you're going to swim with the sharks, you better first learn how to fly with the dove. I beseech you therefore, brethren, based on everything that Paul had written in the first and 11 chapters, if you're going to get into your ministry, you need to learn how to present your body a living sacrifice, holy. That word acceptable is so important to me now. Because if I don't present it to him holy, what does that mean? It's not acceptable. And you're going to be easy fodder for the devil to tread on, to be honest with you. Alan's message to me is so important this morning about knowing the difference between you and your body. And there really is. Last week, the Lord had me use the analogy of the spacesuit, parable of the spacesuit. I hope that helped. You're really not your body. But you can't take that to the extreme either and say, well, it doesn't matter what I do with my body. No. Romans 6, you've been set free from sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid, no. There's a war, but the enemy wants you to think you're so hopeless you just give up. And that's Alan's message. If he can get you to think, well, I'm just hopeless case, there's no hope, I'll never win. Well, that's what the enemy's after. You are not your struggles. But that doesn't mean you get to quit your struggles either. Amen? Now, I got to understand. Okay. I remember in the early days, I started to say a while ago, when we had the Bible studies in our home, God was really kind to Gary. And he would give me those lessons weeks ahead of time. I'd have them printed out ahead of time. We even still have manuals from there, from that time. And man, I could just, once the study came, I just boom, boom, boing, boing. Point one, boom and point is boim. Anyway, boom, boom, boim, point by point. I did it again. 1, 2, 3. And I ministered that way for years. And that's fine. That's fine. People need teaching. They really do. Line on line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But I remember when Sue and I began traveling. And lots of little towns, lots of little churches, lots of different places. And the Lord began getting across to me. He says, I want you to learn to trust me in a different way now. This was my first move out of my comfort zone. And see, at that point, we had been doing it long enough. If you'll allow me, I had become a steward of the mysteries. I had a lot of the mysteries on the inside of me. I already knew what this verse means. I knew what this passage means. I knew what this means. He says, when you go into these churches, you don't know who's there. You don't know what they're struggling with. He said, but I know each and every one of them. They're all my sheep. He says, if you'll learn to trust me, not walk in with a pre-printed lesson, but trust me on the spot to pull, the way he described it where I could understand it, I'm like a library with the mysteries on the shelves. He says, if you'll let me pull off the volumes that I need for that service, I will minister to every single person there. That sounds great until you're the one having to do it. And you walk up there and you don't know the people and you don't know anything hardly. But I watched him. And he was faithful to do that. Faithful to do it. Well, now this is a little different today. Because then he would at least let me have my Bible. And I would see a passage or hear a passage, and at least I could turn and open to it. But he's going a step beyond there. See, because on your job, you don't have your Bible with you normally. At Walmart, most of you aren't walking down the aisle with one hand on the cart and the other under your Bible. He's calling us to be ministers of light in this world. And that means each and every one of us, and I'm just doing this today as an example, each and every one of us have to come to the place where we're literally led by the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now let's talk about leadership for a moment. I see this verse in Romans 8. It says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now those of you that have done your born-again trail homework know that even though it's a big S in the King James, that's a little S. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit there. There is a leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that in a minute. Hallelujah. Fasting season. There is a leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. But listen, most people, that one's at the end, Kiente. Many people. I get this all the time from different people, well-meaning people that love God or doing their best to serve God. They say, listen, I want to obey the Spirit of God. I can't hear him, though. I mean, I get out there, it's just like blank. I can't seem to hear the Holy Spirit. Well, let's back up a little. See, when Dave was laying it out for us, learning to hear his voice, he has a 2-tape series called Distinguishing God's Voice. I believe that's the title of it. It's just 2 messages. Those 2 messages changed my life. Now, before I get into the content of those 2 messages, let me tell you this. You're going to have a hard time hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit if you're continually or regularly searing the voice of your conscience. Dave would tell us again and again. He says, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the gate, the door, the place in you where he speaks is exactly the same place where you hear the voice of your conscience. See, and that's where I missed it for a long time, trying to do what Dave teaches there, because Dave, on the Distinguishing God's Voice, because I kept looking for a voice in my brain, in my mind, in my head, because that's normally how we construct speech. That's how we talk. We think. You know, it's so natural to us. We don't literally go through a process every sentence. What shall I sayeth? Let me see what I thinketh. I thinketh thiseth. I will say thiseth. We don't go through that. It's just so natural to us. The thoughts and the words, in fact, sometimes the words come out before we thought enough. Isn't that right? So I kept looking for his voice in all the wrong places. I kept looking for it in my brain. Let me say it another way. I kept looking for it in my mind. But Paul doesn't say, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my mind prayeth. When I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Now, your spirit's doing the praying, but even then, it's the Holy Spirit giving the utterance. Let me say it a little different. It's the Holy Spirit giving you the syllables. Let me say it a little different. It's the Holy Spirit giving you the literal words to pray. It's in a language you don't know. All right? So, in the beginning, Dave says, what I'm about to do does not relieve you of your responsibility of hearing and doing those 2 messages by Dave until it becomes comfortable to you. Yes, sir. Now, my job is not to ignore anything today. This is to more than one person. You may or may not be in this room. In fact, there's some of you, there's more than one in this room and more than one that's hearing or seeing this. Stop using the excuse, I cannot hear God, because that's a lie. Now just stop it. The truth is, you can hear God. Not for every person, but the number one reason why most people have trouble hearing God is they've seared their conscience because they're still allowing too much of the world. I went through that a season myself. I've told that story before, where I had allowed myself to watch certain types of movies, not X-rated stuff, come on, but things that had cuss words in it and stuff, to where I had gotten used to it. It didn't affect me anymore, you know. And so I rented a movie one time for my parents to watch while Sue and I had to go do something else. And when I got back to the house, my dad was standing on the porch. And you've never seen O.R. Carpenter angry. I knew when I pulled in the driveway and I saw him standing there, I was in trouble. How could you rent such a movie as this? See, what he didn't know is I had gone, I'm going to date myself, I had gone to Blockbuster. How long has it been since you've seen a Blockbuster store? I had gone to Blockbuster and gone up and down the aisles because my dad likes adventure and action-type movies. And my mom likes that okay, too. Boy, I was trying to find one that didn't have any bad stuff in it. And I'm not going to tell you the movie, but it was for 99% a very clean action movie. Had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. But a very clean movie. But see, I had forgotten, I say it a different way. I had watched enough, too much of the world movies where my spirit didn't catch it, that there's just one sentence in that whole doggone movie. Doggone, are we still allowed that? One sentence in there that had a really bad word in it. I'm not going to say the word, of course, but it had a really bad word in it. I had just totally I didn't even remember it was there. So the next day after they left and went back home, you know, I'm going through the movie. I didn't remember anything. And then it come to that, and I went, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Well, how did that happen? My conscience. I had watched enough of that to where I had seared it. I'm telling you, abstinence is the cure for that. Abstinence. There was a time when my body would have crawled over you to get to the next alcoholic drink. Don't get in my way. Don't get between me and my liquor. My body wanted it bad. But I haven't had a drink since 1980. That's what, 40 years ago? My body didn't crave alcohol anymore. There was a time I'd have crawled over you just to get my nicotine. Thank God I was never hooked on cocaine. Just nicotine. But now it's been so many years ago, my body doesn't crave that anymore. Abstinence is a great tool. No wonder Peter said, abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain means say no. And I'm telling you, you can retrain your flesh. My flesh doesn't crave alcohol. It doesn't crave nicotine. It doesn't crave other things that it all at one time wanted. But that's up to you. God's not going to do that for you. Now, the point of all that was this. Those of you that are still using, I'm not looking at, I'm just going to look at B because none of this applies to B. Or Sue, I could pick others. Okay. I don't want to be too rough either, Lord. Only you. See, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So what are you saying? What are you saying when you say, I can't hear him? Because I know you love him. He knows you love him. You're making an excuse. And most of the time, it's because you've allowed too much of the world. You're still allowing too much of the world in there where your conscience is seared, because that's where he talks to you. He doesn't really talk directly to your brain most of the time. It's not that he can't. He can. Most of the time, he talks spirit to spirit. But that voice, and Dave would belabor this. He said, that place in you is more aligned with your conscience than it is with your brain. When I first heard Dave teach, and again, now we're back to distinguishing God's voice. And he would tell us, and I'm leaving out so much. Please go back and listen to it, especially if you're having trouble hearing God. Okay? Because it starts with the leadership of your own spirit. See, you got born again. There's a new creature on the inside of you that is righteous and holy, and he's talking with you all the time. And Romans 8 is talking about that voice, not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Should be a little less. He's talking about as you learn to follow the righteousness of that new nature. That's your first level of hearing Him. But if you get really good at hearing Him and walking in that, it's going to be much easier for you to hear and walk in the fellowship that comes by the voice of the Holy Ghost. Because He talks through that same gate. So Dave would say, he would get us praying in other tongues. He said, I want to get you praying in other tongues, just, you know, loud enough where you can hear your own voice. Then I want you to just stop and listen. And usually you can hear those tongues continue on the inside of you for a little while, and then they'll kind of taper off. I'm not going to lead us in that today. We'll do that maybe another time. But he would lead us. And Shanadabaka would pray for a minute or two, and then he'd go, stop. All right. Now, I could hear him. I could hear that fairly quickly when he would lead us in that. I could hear the tongues continue. Okay? Many people say they can't. Well, if you can hear your conscience, you can hear those tongues. Now, you're just looking in the wrong place. You're looking here in your brain trying to hear it. But your conscience, how do we describe the voice of your, how do you describe that? I mean, every one of you is so familiar with it. If you're born again, try stealing something. Just go through the quick trip. I'm going to slip out of here with a Snicker bar. Anything. As soon as you just even have the thought, before you put your hand on the Snicker bar. It's communicating with you, but it's not exactly a thought, is it? But is it clear? Clear as a bell. That is the voice of your spirit. That is the voice of your spirit. That's where those tongues originate. Dave would go, oh, it's a Rembrandt, it's a Picasso, how he leads into that. And how your spirit has a mind, and the Holy Spirit has a mind, and the two of you are, you know, it's not exactly Star Trek, Vulcan, mind, but it's close. But his mind is with your mind. And he's creating the words, but you're hearing the words, and there's a connection with your tongue, and that's where the tongues come from. He said, that place in you where those tongues originate, that is the voice of the Holy Spirit, and it's the voice of your spirit. He says, eventually, if you'll really learn that place well, first off, you'll really start being led by the Spirit, because you'll hear that voice of your conscience, you hear it. You won't be doing stuff that it says no to. Well, that's the first level of being led by the Spirit. But it's really talking about being led by the new Spirit, the new man on the inside of you. Green light, red light. You don't always know why. I've had him tell me not to go see certain movies that on the surface look fine. I can't tell you why, because I never saw the movie. Gary, did you 100% obey that? Going on to the next point. No. We'll talk about repentance another time. Yes, sir. The first level of hearing his voice and being led by the Spirit is being led by the voice of your own conscience. Get real good at that. Say, well, I'm not good at it. Repent. I'm sorry. You have seared. If you're born again and you cannot hear the voice of your spirit, if you can sit there and watch certain things, the problem nowadays is finding anything that you can watch. I mean, it's getting worse, and I think it's going to get worse. Okay? But if you can sit there and watch, I'll just tell you right now, if I don't want to speak specific movies. There was a movie come out a few years ago that everybody, it was very patriotic, everybody raved about it, but Sue and I have learned, I get online and there's certain websites you can go to and you can find out how many F-bombs, can I say F-bomb, are in a movie. Everyone was raving about, oh man, this is a great movie. Christians, my friends, everyone's telling me what a great movie it is. I get online, if I remember right, it had over 120 F-bombs in it. And if I told you the name of the movie, you'd probably go, yeah, I saw that. If you can sit through that with 120 F-bombs and not grieve your spirit, there's something wrong. I'm sorry, there's something wrong. You think Jesus would sit there through that? So repentance might be in order, what I'm saying. You may have to just unplug that thing for a while, you know. Come down here and pray. There is a verse. Let's see. I think I've heard it once or twice in this church. It's in Jude somewhere. Let's see. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So I'm weak. Build yourself up. I've seared my conscience. Build yourself up. Throw away the remote. Get your hiney down here and pray, you rascal outfit. I'm being nice. Building yourselves up. The next verse, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Well, doesn't he love me all the time? He loves everybody in hell. You want to join him? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Jesus plainly told you, you keep yourself in my love the same way I kept myself in my Father's love. I keep his commandments. Jesus said, he that loves me keeps my commandments. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost helps keep you strong. Built up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. You're not going to be nearly as prone to do stuff that your new nature is saying don't do. So I would listen to Dave, and I'd go to, and those were the ugly building days. I'd left the trucks. I had a lot of time. Had no money, but I had a lot of time. Go to the ugly building. I'd get there before dawn a lot of days. Who knows? I'm done gone before the sun comes up. And most days I wouldn't leave there till noon, 1 o'clock. Now, if it was a week before a conference, I wouldn't leave till 9 o'clock at night. That's a few hours of praying. We're talking Monday through Friday. See, I figure full time means full time. Okay? If people are going to support me with their tithe, if people are going to support me by sending financial gifts, I'm a crook. I'm a deceiver if I don't treat that job as being full time. See, I'm trying to be nice. Besides that, my pastor talked about when he went off the job. He said, I knew that I needed to put in the same number of hours of prayer that I did on that job. Well, that makes sense to me. Yeah. So I went to the ugly building, and I'd heard Dave say about distinguishing God's voice, that you could hear those tongues. He said, now, if you'll keep listening. See, I'm telling you, I've told people this so many times. It's exactly like just learning the frequency on your radio. Because God's always talking, to be honest with you. God, now I don't mean him. You're not going to. I'm not one of those that goes to heaven 5 times a day. But he's talking a lot more than we're hearing. Let's just say it that way. But that series helped me fine tune to find the place in me where I hear him speak. And it's the voice. It's the same voice. Dave is exactly right. It's the same place in you where you hear your conscience. It's just like finding the radio, you know, you turn the dial on the radio station till you find the right channel. Now, I'll tell you this. Once you find it, I don't have any trouble with my radio finding that again. It doesn't move around from day to day, does it? It's there. Once you find that place on the inside of you where that his voice is, honey, you found it. You'll have to get into disobedience to stop hearing it. At least I got one, yeah. So I'd go over there, and I'd hours a day. I'd shut up, and I could hear them. I can hear them right now. I know where the radio station is, and it took a while for me to get good at it. And I'd do it again. Because Dave says eventually, if you'll keep doing that, you'll begin to hear him. Now, it's not always a voice. And I think sometimes we mislead people because we say, I heard him. Did you hear your conscience? Do you hear thou shalt not stealeth that grape? You don't hear those words, do you? But it communicates in perfect understanding. That's the way it is often with him. You don't exactly hear words. Sometimes you do. Most of you are familiar with the face-to-face series that I wrote. That is literally a transcription of what I heard word for word. Okay, but it's not always like that. I'm trying to get back to that. Being led by the Spirit. So I would go to that ugly building and I'd pray, and I mean pray, and I'd listen, and it was tongues. Dave says, eventually you'll start understanding. You'll either hear him in your known language or you'll understand what he's saying to the point you can act on it. So Dave would talk about his leadership growing in you like a tree, but that's really another lesson. Today we're talking about distinguishing his voice. But this went on for days, weeks, months. I hate to admit how long it went on before I began to hear him. In those days, now I'm dating myself again, I had a micro cassette recorder. Okay? I don't even think you can even buy those anymore. But it had been so long, I'd been carrying it that whole time. I'd been carrying that thing with me the whole time, but I never heard him say anything. You know, I didn't want to just record tongues. So I'd almost forgot that I had it, because I'd been doing this for days, weeks, months, I don't know how long, praying, stopping, listening, but it's just tongues. Praying, stopping, listening, tongues. Praying, stopping, listening. And then one day I heard, I am your friend and counselor. Man, I'm tearing up my little ugly building looking for my micro cassette recorder. It'd been so long, I'd almost forgot that I even had it with me, you know. Oh, what? And he began speaking to me. And I began understanding in my known language what he was saying. As that process went on, when that begins to happen for you, you're in for a nice long series of crying and repentance, because trust me when I say, he first comes to clean up your act before he starts dealing with you to help other people clean up their act. Okay? Lots of change came during that season. Eventually, Sue and I began traveling and ministering, and I began to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he would, even when I would have pre-prepared somewhat messages, y'all have watched me a lot. I've learned to follow him through a service. I will just flat abandon the thing. Sometimes he'll change what I mean, I'll work for days getting a lesson. Just to me, it's a Rembrandt, a Picasso, it's perfect. And he'll change it from the house to the church, which is like a 5-minute drive for us. You know, and he won't even have me teach it at all, or he'll change it. But let me just go beyond there. This is why, see, Romans 12, he's going to be bringing you into your ministry. You have, don't tell me he doesn't have something for you to do in the body of Christ. You may be an exhorter. You may be a teacher. You may be a giver. You may be a gospel entrepreneur. You may be something, but you're going to need not only the leadership that comes from your righteous nature, you're going to need the leadership that comes from the Holy Ghost. And before I get into this next part, let's talk about that for a minute. How many of you think Paul, the one who wrote Romans, knew how to follow his new nature? Come on, y'all are here, right? Okay. Well, he learned, but he also had to learn how to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, you remember that time when him and I believe it was Silas, they had finished their assignment, whatever it was they had done for the Lord, and they didn't really know what to do next. So they were thinking about, well, maybe we should go to Asia. Maybe we should go to Bithynia. Maybe we should go to this other place. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Except in that case, it says the Holy Spirit forbade it. Now, they'd gotten to the point where they're not only hearing the voice of their spirit, they got to the point where they're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit uses more than just a voice. He speaks in dreams and visions quite frequently. And you'll have to learn how to even interpret that. Okay? Now, here's just a rule of mine. I'm not against people helping you with interpretations, but I figure that the same Holy Ghost that gave you the dream normally can tell you what it means. Okay, I don't run around trying to get everybody to interpret my dreams. And I don't want to mention any name, but there's people in this room that if I'm having trouble with one, I would trust them. I would go to them for some help. But normally, I don't. My rule is, normally, I'll just, he'll get it. It might be a week, a month, or a year before I get it, but normally I'll get it, okay? But obviously, Paul and Silas come to the place, they're not only following their new nature, being led of the Spirit that way, they come to the place where they're being led by the Holy Ghost now. How many of us want that? And it doesn't matter what your calling is. Now, I'm going to give you an example from a teacher. That's what I am. I can only give you examples from my life. One of the most powerful things that's happened by this method, Pastor Jin Ho Kim, whom I just love dearly, him and his wife Sune in South Korea, they graciously allowed me to come teach at their church and at their ministry school for 6 years in a row. Now, if you want to go to work, accept an invitation from Jin Ho Kim. 1 year I went there, I preached 30 times in 10 days. And in the evenings, it was during a conference. Well, you know how it is during a conference. You know, you preach and then you have a ministry line. This was a big church. We usually weren't headed back home till 2 or 3 in the morning. Then I'm preaching at the school the next morning at 8 o'clock. And this went on for 10 days. Okay, 30 times in 10 days. He had a specific agenda that year. Kenneth Hagin had just had a new book come out, and I believe it was Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Y'all remember that book? Kind of had a green cover, Plans. Might be Purposes, Plans, and Pursuits, but I think it had those three in the title. And Jin Ho had gotten permission from Rhema to translate it into South Korean and publish it there. So he had this conference going on, and he wanted me to teach in the mornings out of Kenneth Hagin's book and teach in the evening out of Pastor Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, and show that they were in agreement, that there was no conflict between the two. And I knew it ahead of time. I had done my homework ahead of time, and I'd already knew there was no disagreement. Now, Kenneth Hagin always emphasizes faith more, and Pastor Dave would emphasize praying in tongues more. But the two fit together just like a hand in a glove. There was just no problem. So I knew what I'm supposed to do, right? See, and Gary likes that when Gary's mind knows what to do. I like orderly. Step one, step two, step three. Yeah, hallelujah. So I know what I'm supposed to do. And this was a morning service. And Pastor Jin Ho, as always, now they speak Korean there. Hardly anybody speaks English. So he's giving announcements and doing all kinds of stuff that I'm just sitting there waiting till it's my turn to get up there. And I already know what I'm going to say. I've already got my lesson prepared. This was a morning service, so I was going to teach out of Kenneth Hagin's book. And it was all done. Except there's one little problem. I had practiced enough what Dave taught, so I had learned to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'm sitting there waiting till the announcements and whatever's done, and I hear just as clearly as you're hearing my voice, teach on Paul's thorn instead. And I know none of you have ever argued with the Lord. Internally, there's a discussion going on. Said, Lord, I've already, I gave my word, Lord. Jin Ho asked me to preach out of Kenneth Hagin's book in the morning. Lord, you know I've already got the lesson prepared. And this is what he asked me to do, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and teach out of Kenneth Hagin's book. Now, I don't know whether all those words actually happened. You can have that conversation in about a second. You know what I'm talking about? I heard it again. Teach on Paul's thorn instead. I went through the whole mishmash again. I'm going to do what Jin Ho asked me to do. The third time, he said, in this tone of voice, still I can feel it, are you going to obey me or not? Yes, Lord. I walked up there and I told him why I was departing from the lesson that I had. Now, this is a morning service. It wasn't the evening crusade. I'm going to say probably was 150 people there. Now, the nighttime services was somewhere between 600 and 1,000. It was big. The morning services, I don't know, a couple hundred maybe, somewhere in that ballpark. And, of course, I don't know most of the people there. Well, I began teaching on Paul's thorn. Now, very quickly, the traditional way that I grew up hearing Paul's thorn was, the traditional way, that Paul was just getting a little bit too prideful. So God had to give him a thorn in the flesh, which some say might have been an eye disease or some other physical ailment, just to take Paul down a peg or two. And that Paul cried out three times to be delivered from it, and God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so the essence of that version is, God put some kind of physical ailment on Paul to humble him because he was just getting too prideful. Okay? But then I taught it the correct way, and I need an hour and a half to do this. But in case you don't know, let me just say it this way. That is not at all what that is talking about. If you leave it in the context, like Pastor Dave taught us, what that verse is really talking about, everywhere Paul would go, revival would break out. He would start churches. Devils would get cast out. People would be healed. Paul had become the most dangerous man alive when it comes to the kingdom of darkness. So a special messenger, it says, an angel of Diablos is the actual, an angelo of Diablos was assigned, like a hand-picked demon was assigned to make life hell for Paul with only one purpose, to stop him from continuing doing his ministry. And he tells you everything that he summarizes in the previous chapter about shipwrecks and beatings and being arrested and his feet beaten with rods and in perils of robbers, in perils of this, three times shipwrecked. On all of the stuff that the devil did, that angelos of Diablos did, trying to stop this man, but he would not stop. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, I learned to rejoice in my tribulations. That's right. Amen. Well, I taught it. I taught it a lot longer and better than that. You understand? Well, we had a prayer line in the morning services. You didn't have quite the same kind of prayer line that you did at the night services, and it was over pretty quick. People were leaving the assembly. But I noticed there was a group, and forgive me, it's been so many years now, my numbers might be slightly wrong. If you hear this on a previous message, those numbers are correct. I'm doing my best. But there was roughly 12 to 15 men who I noticed were just still sitting there. They weren't getting up out of their chairs. And in fact, I saw one of them do like this to the pastor. For those who can't see me, he's like, come here, you know. Put his finger out to the pastor. We want to talk to you. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. These men were of the age, you know, they kind of looked like they might be ministers, you know. And I said, uh-oh, here it comes. Well, pastor goes over to them, and they're yakety-yakking in Korean. they're talking back and forth. Well, I mean, I don't have any idea what they're saying, but every now and then, Jin Ho would look at me, and he'd talk to them, and he'd look at me, and I thought, oh, boy. But it wasn't at all what I expected. Jin Ho come up to me, and he says, you see this group of men right here that haven't left? By this time, they're the only ones left. He said, this group is, they're all Baptist ministers. Some of them have traveled for 2 days by bus and walking in order to get here. When they heard you teach on Paul's thorn, they completely agree with the truth how you taught it. But they have all taught it the old traditional way. They've all taught it and believed it to be that way until today, when the Holy Spirit showed them the truth. So they've been talking amongst themselves, and they're saying, if we could have been that wrong about Paul's thorn, perhaps we have been wrong about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they're wanting to know if you'd be willing to stay and teach them about the Holy Spirit, because each of them would like to be filled and speak with tongues. Oh, yeah, I think I'd be willing. Within 2 hours, I don't remember exactly, within 2 hours, all of them but one were speaking in other tongues. And I heard that poor fella, it wasn't that he wasn't trying. But I heard later, Jin Ho later told me, he said on his bus ride back home, he got filled and started speaking in other tongues himself. Now, I have thought about that service. I thought, what? Number two things. Number one, what if I had not have practiced doing what David had taught, then repenting myself so I'd keep the gate open in me where my conscience flows, but then continue what Dave taught until I began to hear the Holy Spirit speaking through that gate. See? And that's one level of mortification, transformation. But I got to be honest with you, the more difficult one comes later. Because first you got to be dead enough to hear him. It's another level of death to hear him and obey him. See, I thought, God, even with all of that praying, I still could have disobeyed you. I come so close. I really did. I come so close. If he hadn't said that third time, are you going to obey me or not? And those poor men would have gone home. God would have, God loved them. He got them there. But I would have missed that opportunity. And we don't, going into revival, people, we can't be missing opportunities like that. God will have a word of knowledge. Listen, if you've been listening to those, and I'm going to mention it again, those 8 consecutive prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk at Dave's website. I'm not sure what they're calling it. I often refer to it as Bring Me Gold. I do know at Bronk's website, it's listed as Blueprint for 2020. And they've combined all 8 prophecies into one MP3. I'm sorry? Okay, Blueprint for 2020. And it takes about 54 minutes, if I remember correctly, 54 minutes. I've already listened to them 30 times. I texted Bronk and said, I've listened to them the first 30 times. Listen, there are instructions on there that you are not going to get reading it or hearing it one time. The Lord makes some astounding promises in there. Astounding, that'll eventually dawn on you. I want to recommend that to you. You don't have to, there's no law that says you have to hear them 30 times, but I recommend that to you. Then another one came through him afterwards, January 12th. They're calling it Move Out of My Authority, I believe is what it's called, Move Out of My Authority. Now, it's only about 14, 15 minutes long. I'm in the process of listening to it 30 times. I'm like number 24 right now. But it also has just loaded with instruction for where we're going. Now, in the same way that Jesus had to be anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power to do what he did, all of those ministry gifts, all of those ministries listed in Romans chapter 12, and there's many more. That's not exhaustive. There's many more. Okay? Whatever it is he's called you to do, don't we want to do it in the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost? Well, you need to hear his voice. You need to hear his voice. So I'm going to recommend to you that you dust off. Of course, I'm thinking CDs. Those old, in my case, it would go back to cassette tapes. But of course, now you know all of those teachings are available at Dave's website in MP3 format that you can just download. Put them on your phone. I really recommend you do that. But what I really recommend is that you start practicing it. Getting to the place, first off, where you hear clearly the voice of your own conscience, which is the voice of your new nature. I want to say it a little different. That's the voice of Christ in you. That's the voice of Christ in you. There's going to be repentance involved with that, most likely. Okay? It's okay. But then continue beyond there, because listen, The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. He's got a plan for your life that I can't do for you. Nobody else can do it. You are you. Doug is Doug back there. Now, I admire Doug. Doug has been a faithful person here all the years that I've been coming to the prayer center. But I'm not responsible for Doug's calling. Doug and the Lord together are going to walk out his calling for Doug. Same with David, same with B, same with Verna, Dennis. Hey, I'm doing names, glory. Well, I can't hear his voice. Somebody sent me a link. If possible, we'll put, I don't know how we'll do this, but if we can, we'll try and put this link available with this message or maybe at my website. But it's a short little video, maybe 3 minutes long, 4 minutes long. But it just shows a group of sheep in a field. These sheep are owned by a certain farmer. They know his voice. And it's an illustration of John, in the book of John, Jesus saying, "My sheep know my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow." Right? My sheep hear my voice. So in this video, at first, here's the sheep, and they're all got their heads down just grazing. It's a nice green pasture. They're just grazing away, minding their own business, doing what sheep do. And they have first a young person, I can't remember if it's a boy or girl, doesn't matter. But they're doing their best to get the attention of the sheep. And they're yelling. Something like, yada, 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 something like that. Yada, 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 yada. Sheep don't even look. They're just munching away on their grass, munching away, munching away. So they have another person come and trying to do the, just trying to get them to even look, you know, the sheep. Yeti, 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 yeti. You know, just trying to do something that's startling. Sheep, munch, munch. I don't hear that. Munch, munch, munch. Then they have the farmer. That's in a different language, so I don't know what he's saying. But he's not yelling or anything. He just walks up in his normal voice and he begins talking. I don't know what he's saying to him, but he's not yelling at all. It's something like, "Oh, hello, you know, hello," you know, just something like that. Boy, those heads snap up. They look directly at him and then they start coming to him. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." Now stop saying that you don't. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I'm telling you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, stop that. Now, you may not have located that frequency yet, and it may or may not be searing of the conscience. Could be. Okay? But I counsel you again. Get Dave's 2-tape series back out. Listen to them again. He goes into such more detail than what I've mentioned here. Explaining so you can understand what's going on. Then begin to practice. I will give you this. It doesn't come from your mind. Normally, he doesn't speak directly to your logismos. your logic. He doesn't speak there. He speaks spirit to spirit. And the closest thing to that we have in English is your conscience. Now, if you're at the place you can't hear your conscience, we already know what the problem is. If you can lie and your conscience not smite you, we know part of the problem here. You know, either you're not born again, or more likely you've seared that place in you because of constant lying. Dave would use this analogy. He says, "I want people now, Dave. I can't do it with his humor. I can't do it with his love. There's only one Dave. We love our pastor. Dave saved my life. I'm just telling you. Thank God for Pastor Dave. He saved my life." Dave would say, "People are all the time coming, asking me. They're saying, I can't hear the voice of the Holy Ghost." And he said, "I was asking the Lord about that, and all of a sudden I saw a door. And on this door, There was a 2x4 nailed across it. Then there was a 2x6 nailed across that. There was locks and bolts and chains. I mean, somebody had gone through great trouble to make sure nothing ever comes through that door. And I'm thinking, you know, that's the door that the Holy Spirit speaks through. And I'm going, Lord, why are you showing me that? He said, because they have seared their conscience. Every time that they disobey the voice of that new nature, it's like nailing another 2x4 on that door. Every time they disregard what the Spirit, that new creature on the inside of you, is saying according to righteousness, it's like another lock, another deadbolt, another 2x6. They've got that thing so nailed shut because they want to live how they want to live. But then they want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit speaks through that same door. If you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, there's maybe some repentance involved to get right with walking by your own spirit first. And I'm talking about that righteous creature that Ephesians 4 talks about, that is created from the get-go in righteousness and true holiness. Now get this, seared conscience or not, if you're born again, he's still in you. And he's still speaking. And you can, and don't ask me how I know this. You already know how I know it. 1 John 1:9 is your first stop on this path. You go to God and say, God, I may have seared my conscience so bad in so many areas, I don't even know where to start repenting. Been watching this and doing that and doing all that. I don't even know where to start. You're going to have to help me. See, that's where 1 John 1:9. Did you know it's more than just forgiveness? If we will confess our sin, he is faithful not only to forgive you, but now notice, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I'll tell you what will happen. Your conscience will start. You just go to him in repentance. When he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, your conscience becomes tender again. But you got to obey now. And you're in a pattern of disobedience. Right? But you'll begin, if you pray that prayer and sincerely come before him, even in the Old Testament, he'd say, backslidden Israel, return unto me. Just stop your wicked ways. I will abundantly pardon. If you do that in the Old Testament and you're his child, any parent that's got a rebellious child, I don't ask me how I know this. Angie, raise your hand. Any parent that's got a rebellious child, what do they want? Return unto me. Repent from this wicked way. Well, that's the same with your father. And that place in you, you'll begin to hear it again. Now, it's so important that when you do, obey it. And you'll become expert first at being led by the Spirit, little s, that new nature on the inside of you. You'll become expert at walking there. That is the same gate, same place, the same voice, the same, not exactly the same voice, but it's the same place in you where that voice comes through from the Holy Spirit. And it's more than a voice. It's dreams and visions. I've had two dreams in this past week that are life-changing that I'll tell you about if he ever lets me. Sometimes they're just for me, you know, to help me on my journey. But he'll give you dreams and visions. And very often, I mentioned earlier, sometimes you might need help with interpretation. Most of the time, you don't. Uh-oh, I know what that means. Well, that's called repentance. Y'all getting anything out of this? Oh, I'm having a good time myself. I'm having a good time. I'm going to give you one more because he's bringing it to me. Alan ran over, so I'm going to run over. Just a little. That's not even, we're 20 minutes still. Tell you about one other one. Because see, one of the things that the Lord blatantly says in that group of eight prophecies, one of the sentences, the Father says this, I desire that all of the gifts flow through all of my children. Say that with me. He desires that all of the gifts flow through all of his children. I am his child. His will that all of the gifts flow through me. Now say this, Father, I'm a candidate. Now, you can't make the gifts happen, but you can covet them. It says covet earnestly. I mean, there's two words put together. Normally, covet is all bad. And, you know, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt covet thy neighbor's donkey and so forth. But that's that same covet. And if that's not bad enough, covet earnestly the best gifts. We're supposed to want them. Now, you can't make them happen. But you can sure be a candidate. And learning to keep that place in you tender, where you hear the voice of your conscience, your nature, and you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, is a great help. I'm going to tell you about one more. This is a word of knowledge that happened again in Korea. And I was there just minding my own business. This was at an evening service, if I remember right. And I'm just praying for people. And I remember Jin Ho was walking right with me, because these people don't speak English. So even when I'm ministering to them, he has to interpret into Korean what I'm saying. And I'm just doing my normal prayer and hallelujah. And sometimes they'll tell me what they want and I'll pray, you know. But I got in front of this one man. And just as clear, now we're in a church service, but just as clear. I've never met this guy. As far as I know, I never laid eyes on him before in my life. But when I stood in front of him, now here's a word of knowledge, but it doesn't come by a word. I saw on the floor right next to him a tool bag, very much like the canvas tool bag that I saw my earthly father, O.R. Carpenter, because he was a carpenter by name and by trade for years. And he had a big carpet type tool bag thing that had saws and levels and hammers and all kinds of stuff in it. But I'm standing in front of this guy. And of course, we're in church and he's dressed up nice. There's no tool bags anywhere. But I see on the floor right next to him a tool bag, just like my dad's. And I see hammers and saw and level and things kind of sticking out of there. So rather than just ignore it, see, you got to learn. Rather than just ignore it, Holy Spirit's got a reason for everything he does. I turned to Jin Ho and I said, Jin Ho, I don't know why, but when I stand in front of this man, on the floor right there, I'm seeing a tool bag. It's got hammers and saws and levels and that kind of thing in it. When I said that, I knew there was a spark of recognition in Jin Ho's eyes. Because then he said back to me, he said, well, what you don't know is this is Brother Zamazama. Told me his name. This is Brother So-and-so. He is an elder in this church. He is our repairman. He is our hammer and saw guy. If we need anything fixed, he's the one that fixes it. I said, okay. I said, well, tell him what I saw. Because he knows I don't know him. And tell him the same God that knew that is the same God that's about to talk to him now through me. And the Lord gave him some life-changing instruction. But see, that word of knowledge had an impact on him. He might would have thought, just another American preacher. Come over here. But through that word of knowledge, he knew the Holy Ghost had his number. Amen. Now, there's many more times like that. I'll be honest with you, in my history, there should be a lot more. There should be a lot more. There's more than that, but there should be much more. And I believe, for I'm bringing you more into just my leadership. I'm bringing you into my power. I shall anoint his life in you with the same power you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But always know it is me and not you. But first comes the leadership by the new nature. Second comes the leadership by me. Thirdly comes the power. For you have entered, For through your own intercession, you have pleaded with me and asked me that you not be diverted off into the ditch onto the left or onto the right. So for that very purpose, I have held back to a certain extent my power through you in order that you have time to mature to that level you've requested of me, so that when this revival starts, it will not end until I return, says the Lord. Kure marandoruste. No more flash in the pans. No more miracles while you get drunk at night. This is scandals that's happened recently. Recently, 10 years. For I have been teaching you line upon line, precept upon precept, diligently, not only in this camp, but in camps that are associated with this camp. And I have been raising you up not only in knowledge, but also in maturity of things in the Spirit, so that your core motives are aligned with mine, says the Lord. And I am not finished with that process yet, but no soon and very soon. Be diligent in these things. For sooner than you think. Let me say that carefully now. Before you think you're ready, I shall use you in things that you now know not. I shall use you. You say, I'm not ready. And I'm going, it's time. So, be diligent in this time of preparedness. Be diligent in this time of preparedness. Allow my Spirit to have His way with you, for I am preparing for a great harvest. The greatest harvest this world has ever seen. And your joy shall be so full. Your joy shall be so full. Hearken to my Spirit. Hearken to my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew. I feel like crying. During the time, what I'm hearing during the time of this message, a little over an hour, thousands have plunged into hell. My heart. So not His will. He's not desiring that any perish. Think of His mercy and His grace to us to give us time. Think of the cost of preparation. But He's after a great harvest. We must keep our eyes on the prize. What this is about, it's not even about you, really. It's not about your calling. It's about the harvest. It's about the harvest. But no, there is joy in heaven. Heaven's not a sad place, says the Lord. Heaven is not a sad place. I am the God of hope. I am the God of hope. Look unto me. Yield to my Spirit. Watch what I do, says the Lord. I'm going to have to quit, you guys. I'm going to have to quit. I feel like I'm being cut down like a tree. I feel like I should remind you again that the church is open for prayer. Now, you can pray at home all you want. You can make your own ugly building. In a pretty building. But he's made repeated requests. He's not commanding, but requests for corporate prayer. And I know many of you have jobs and you can't come. But he's just asking for you to come when you can. I just want to remind you again, the church is open Wednesday from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 10 o'clock at night for corporate prayer. Friday from noon until 10 o'clock. Saturday morning from 7 in the morning until noon. We didn't really intend it to. I checked with Tim to see if they did it on purpose. But the Holy Spirit had a purpose. If you total those hours up, they come to 21 hours. And I remember, most of you remember Dave would tell us. He didn't have chapter and verse for it, but he said just watching people for decades. The ones that eventually make it into their calling, the ones that, he would say it, the ones that survive the beatings, because the enemy's going to try and drive you off, are the ones that hit a stride, an average, not legalistically, but an average of about 20 hours a week in prayer. Now, he's talking in addition to your windshield time. You know what I mean by windshield time? Windshield time counts. Listen, there's no such thing as a wasted hour praying in tongues, okay? But he's talking about separate prayer time, 20 hours a week. And if you total those hours up, it comes to 21. I know the Holy Spirit orchestrated that. Hallelujah. Will you feel his presence? Listen, this is strong. He's got souls on his mind. He's got a harvest on his mind. This is eternity, life, death, heaven or hell stuff. And he's giving us time to prepare, to allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us for the harvest sooner than we think. We're going to be in it. Let us be ready. Let him get you out of your comfort zone. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, Father, finally I feel a release now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are going to have Calling in the Lost tonight at 7. I'll just tell you plain, there's so few people come to Calling in the Lost. I mean, like a handful. I'm not going to get on to you, although I'd like to. Gary, are you going to keep doing it even if nobody comes? I will do it until he tells me to stop. And I don't think he's going to tell me to stop. One thing that I do have in common with Pastor Dave, I don't have any quitting sense. I don't have any quitting sense. And once I know what he wants me to do, I will do that. But I do invite you to Calling in the Lost. Listen, it is good training for you besides the benefit of what we do for the atmosphere in Tulsa. It is good training. There's not many places where you can go and be trained how to call those things that be not as though they were. It doesn't come natural to human beings. Human beings call things that are the way they are. It's good training. I just recommend it to you. It starts at 7. We're usually out by 8:30. It's not a long service. Then Wednesday prayer, Friday prayer, Saturday prayer. Father, I think I've obeyed you as far as I know. You okay? Okay. Play something. Now, not only in this room, but in the sound of my voice. The reason I feel a release on the teaching, but he wants me to give you an opportunity to leave here already cleansed from 1 John 1:9. Now, in your own heart, you can confess to him whatever it is. We don't need to know. You're not. Could be lots of things. Let's all, listen, it won't hurt any of us. Let's pray this prayer. Everybody say it out loud, and that way nobody's put on the spot. Same at home. And it doesn't matter if you're watching this 10 years from now. The truth is the truth. Say it with me. Father, I come once more to the throne of grace. Father, I come to that blood of Jesus that is still on the mercy seat. Father, before you right now, I confess my sins. Father, in my heart, you know what they are and I know what they are. Father, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Forgive me, Lord. And I thank you for the blood that was shed. That's still active today. To not only forgive me, but to wash me clean again. Father, cleanse me from all unrighteousness by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, make my conscience tender again, where I can hear the voice of that righteous spirit within me. Father, with all that I know how, I repent of every sin. I will not ignore the promptings that come from the new man. Father, I will hearken to every word, every impulse, every assignment of righteousness that you give me by that new man. And I am a candidate, Lord, to hear clearly the voice of your Holy Spirit. From this day forward, I will never say again that I cannot hear God, because I am your sheep and I hear your voice. I hear your voice by the new nature. I hear your voice by that conscience. And I hear your voice by the Holy Spirit, even if it comes in visions and dreams. I hear your voice. And I'll never say otherwise again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, receive that. In those eight prophecies, there's a line that says, forgive yourself. See, people preach it all the time and still walk around condemned. No. Believe that blood is there for the express purpose of cleansing you again. If you prayed that prayer, you are white as snow. Your garments are not spotted by the flesh anymore. You have on righteousness like a garment. In Jesus' name, I have to let you go. Hallelujah.